Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 5, we were talking about the term, whosoever believeth, and how it seems so hard for some people to understand. Let's continue with that thought today. I'm just saying that it is an evident truth that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, folks, whosoever means whosoever. There are no qualifiers before or after the word or this verse to show differently. It doesn't say whosoever is elect. It says whosoever believeth. Now, it'd be dumb to say whosoever if they're not elected and therefore they can't make a decision because God just didn't elect them. He wanted them to go to hell. God created them to be sinners, to be filthy, to say the worst things out of their mouth, to kill babies through abortion, to drink, get drunk, to beat their wives, and wives to cheat on their husbands and things of that nature. I mean, we've gone down of all these sins and you're saying, well, God created men to sin and live that way. And yet that's what they have to say. They have to own that if they're going to be honest. No. I don't know how many, some people have a harder time with things than others do. I don't know how many times you have to say whosoever to understand that the Bible means whosoever. I hear the same thing about the King James Bible. Well, it's difficult to understand. Oh yeah, it was written on a fifth grade level. So the Bible on a fifth grade level is hard to understand. My friend, I don't think you're going to understand those other Bibles either. I was listening to a preacher the other day. Somebody gave me a CD, and normally when I find that it's on a guy that I know doesn't use the King James and is not fundamental, I just don't listen to it. But this one had a subject that they said some interesting things about, and I listened to the sermon. And, to be quite honest with you, it was a good sermon, but he used the wrong Bible. Sometimes when he would translate a word, he would give the King James translation. I thought, well, is that interesting? He said this would be better understood. And he gave the King James word. Now, what do you think of that? But I think also what's even better than that is this, that he said about Hebrew words and Greek words and things of that nature. And the truth of the matter was, the Textus Receptus and Hebrew did have the words he said weren't there. And so, when he says there are words not there, it's because they weren't in the corrupted text that he had. So again, I would say, stick with the right word, and that'll get you on the right direction when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it would be dumb to say whosoever if God didn't want whosoever to go to heaven. He didn't want whosoever to take of the water of life freely. So God doesn't say dumb thing. He said whosoever, and he meant it. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's not hard to understand. Now, the importance of saying that Jesus is the Christ, which the word Christ means, the anointed of God, even in the Hebrew, it would have been the Messiah. He was anointed of God for what purpose? To take away the sin of the world as promised to Eve in Genesis 3, when her seed would bruise the head of the serpent. What is more important to see? Is the word believer. The word believeth there is what the Greek scholars call a present participle. It is the idea of an ongoing belief. For example, a young man tells a young pretty thing, "Oh, I really love you with all my heart." But then he says, "Let's move in to live together." Her answer is, "Okay, as soon as we get married, we will." Then he hedges on everything. You see, it is not an evident truth when he says he loves her with all of his heart. My wife's from the North Carolina mountains, and I like some of that country wisdom they have up there. And one of the sayings they have is, if the milk is free, don't buy the cow. Okay? And ladies, let me tell you something. You let a man just move in and live with you, don't count on marriage. As a matter of fact, there's a study out that shows a higher percentage of people that move in and live together before marriage end up divorced more quickly than the others or than most do when they do get married after that. Believeth here is an ongoing relationship, which, by the way, is likened to marriage, as we see it in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Now, many pastors and others have preached from Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 of the relationship in the home. The husband is the head, the wife is to be subjected. And that gets so much emphasis, and there is an emphasis there. But actually, marriage is a picture of salvation. It's that kind of a commitment. As the young man proves his love by marriage and commitment to her, based on his love for her, his actions show that his words to be true. Well, Jesus showed that his word is true as well. In Romans 5:8, he says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, just like we are in our worst state, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In John 3:16, everybody seems to know that verse, and a lot of people have read it, but don't know exactly what it says. But it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have," that's a possessive word, "have, everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 24 and 25, we read a great verse there. He says, of Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And that word bishop means overseer. Jesus is the overseer of my soul for eternal salvation. So, he's taken personal responsibility to keep me. After I've received him as my Lord and Savior, he takes responsibility to keep me. That's why we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there were people that were coming to the Lord's table drunk, some of them having lived in adultery and unrepentant of their sin, and they came to the Lord's table in those conditions. Some were sickly, some slept early. So let me just point that out just to say this, is that you make doubly sure, okay, you make sure you're saved, but also know that when you enter into that relationship with him, your salvation is secure because he keeps you. Let's think about John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, if a young man is preparing a house for his future bride, I think the investment of time and money and commitment shows his love. But we need not question the love of God for us, the love of Christ has, for he died for our sins, a very cruel death, but he rose from the dead. And now he's preparing a place that has, oh my goodness, many mansions. Oh, it is a tremendous place, and you go there if you are in Christ Jesus. But now, in our text, he's looking at our action. Again, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Okay, so this looks at you, your responsibility, your belief, your act. Is your belief an ongoing belief? What action in your life reveal that? Do you remember the parable of the sower? There was seed that fell on the wayside, and the birds devoured them. Birds are figurative of the evil, that is, the devil, Satan's angel. And that's what Jesus tells us. I mean, we don't have to guess at that. That's what he tells us. Now, you don't want that. You want his salvation. But, you see, when those devils come in, when the seed of salvation has been sown to you, and you've been shown the way, the devils start their work as fast as they can. Hey, you don't want that. You'll have no fun. Or, you know, both your sins and your thoughts, things that you've done, how could God save you? Why would he even want to save you? How could he even love you? And boy, Satan's been able to deceive a lot of people with that. Now, be it the attraction of the world or some other thing that casts doubt or entices you away, it shows the difference between assenting to a fact as true and a committed belief. You see, a committed belief acts on the fact.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's truth. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.